How You Entrepreneurs. Today we have Diana Nunez. She is a high performance hypnotist. It's a pretty good story. She didn't even know what she wanted to do. She was that girl in the bleachers that was smoking a cigarette. And then later in life, she went on a blind date. And what do you know? Instead of finding the love of her life, she found the career that she's going to love. So you're going to want to listen to this. It's a pretty good story. It's one of our longer episodes, but I think it's just so action-packed that you'll listen to all the way through. Thanks, guys. Please subscribe, please share, and tell your friends.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
How are you entrepreneurs today? So we got Diana Nunez. She is a high-performance hypnotist. So yeah. Nice for you to come on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so should I be aware of anything?
You should
happening?
Not look into my eyes.
Oh gosh. Do you get that a lot?
I get that all the time, and it has nothing to do with my eyes. But yes, I've been a high performance hypnotist since 1997. Oh, wow. So I'm dating myself, but that's okay. I have a lot of experience, and yes, people all say, don't make me cluck like a chicken, or don't look into my eyes. Typically, that happens more maybe in the middle of the country, not on the coasts where people are a little bit more advanced in their thinking. And you know, there's actually... I shouldn't throw the Mid-America under the bus, because they've got the Mayo Clinic, who has hypnotists on staff, and hypnotherapy is a huge part of now the medical profession, and being taken really seriously these days. So not only as in peak performance, but in helping people with so many different ailments, and it's quite incredible. Even right now on Google Scholar, you can type in hypnotist or hypnosis, and you'll have over 290,000 medical reports. So wow. Quite incredible how hypnosis is really kind of gaining traction and popularity of being a alternative modality.
Do you know what it was maybe 10 years ago, 20 years, how many medical reports it was?
So, I don't. Yeah, to have a comparison, that'd be really good. Well, I would imagine, too, we're just gaining so much. There's the collection is growing by the day of every day that the internet is old, right? So I don't know. I don't know what it is from 10 years ago, but I know that from when I started, the feeling of it has changed. When I got into hypnotherapy, it was because I really wanted to change myself. And I saw it as a tool to be able to really work with my own mindset. I knew that I had some limiting beliefs that I knew didn't need to be there. And when I learned about hypnosis, it really opened my eyes to just communicating with the subconscious mind, seeing it as a tool. And I used it to change my life. So,
so what was the gateway? When did you know that this was
the
an option?
The gateway. Yeah. I love that. So I first learned about hypnosis. Like many people think of hypnosis as maybe a viable tool for quitting smoking, that type of thing. I was set up on a blind date. And that was my first entry, my gateway to hypnosis. I had a friend. I was a single mom at the time. And my friend said, oh, you got to, date my friend. Again, I want to set you up. And I really didn't want to be set up. I, had actually come out of it too early. I got married at 19 years old and divorced at 22. It was one of those whoops. And I had a son in the middle of that. He was not a whoops. It was amazing. And I should say, yeah, he was the beginning of the change of my life, actually, because I felt so responsible for him is when I decided, like, okay, I got to get my stuff together. Insert a different word. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to get my shit together big time. And it was my son that made me go looking, for tools. So when this came along, this opportunity of the date, that was really not what I was looking for. But I was like, okay, I'll go. And I ended up going to his show. So it was a comedy hypnosis show that I got introduced to. And I just saw the power of it. It was incredible. And I think a lot of your listeners would agree that I tend to hear this a lot. Well, I saw a hypnotist at my high school or at my college, at his entertainment or at a comedy club, something like that. And that was the type of hypnosis that this particular person I ended up dating for 2 years did. And I saw the power of it. I saw how it would really make people shift in their perception of how they view themselves.
So did he teach you
And so, no, I went to actually, I went to school, but he was, I ended up doing a ton of shows with him. In the first 3 weeks of dating him, his assistant quit and he had like the pretty girl in the short dress, you know, on stage with him, and she quit and he needed somebody. And I was, had just started dating him, and he said, would you get up here and like run my sound and help me? And I was terrified, like many people of public speaking is terrified at being on stage. But I did it anyways. And so I put on the cute sequin dress and got up there, and I ended up totally loving it. But it really helped me to grow my confidence and being in front of people and being on stage. And so after 2 years, we weren't meant to be together at all. We've both gone on to, you know, find the loves of our life. And that experience, so I really feel it was almost like divine intervention. I was supposed to absolutely learn what this tool was, and so it made me pay attention, and I went seeking for where I could learn hypnotherapy because I wanted to take it to another level. So went to hypnotherapy school.
So how did that work? So you were dating for 2 years.
Yeah.
Did you go to school during that time frame or after?
No, afterwards. Yeah, afterwards. I never had any intention of actually being a hypnotist when I was dating him. Yeah. But after we parted ways, I couldn't get it out of my head. It was just one of those things that I went back to. I had become a hairstylist and makeup artist when I was 15 years old. I started doing, talk about being an entrepreneur. When I was 15, people thought I was already over 18 and they were hiring me for photo shoots. Oh, wow. To come in as a makeup artist and do hair. And so I had gone and got certified as a hairstylist. And I thought I would go back to doing that. And I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get out of my head. It just seemed so powerful. And I knew that inside myself, I wanted to be able to create more confidence. And I had come from just a really kind of dysfunctional family. And I knew that I was going to need something more to get me where I thought maybe I could go. And when I think about all the stuff that I've accomplished at this point, looking back, I didn't even realize all of that could happen. But it was just, you know, as Martin Luther King says, like, all you need to do is see the first step. And then once you take that first step, the next step will reveal itself. And I'm paraphrasing Martin Luther King. but truly, that's what happened. So I went to hypnotherapy school. It's a vocational school. There's hypnotherapy colleges all the way across America, internationally as well. And to become a hypnotherapist, it's actually, there's different levels of hypnosis certification. You can be a hypnotist, you can be a master hypnotist, you can be a certified clinical hypnotherapist. And that's what I went to school to do. And you have to really choose to keep, you know, growing your education. And so ever since then, it's, you know, NLP certifications and everything else on top of it.
Well, so what was that drive? Because it was not something that you were familiar with before you started dating him.
Yeah.
And then after you guys broke up.
That's true. Oh, the drive. I've always been ambitious. Like, it's just.
Was it to prove him wrong that you?
No, it had nothing to do with him.
Nothing. Okay.
Nothing to do with him whatsoever. I feel like he just kind of opened a door for me. Had nothing to do with him. You know what? It made me flash back to when I was a kid, and when I was in, always like third, fourth, fifth grade, I went to a private Christian school and we used to get up and sing in front of our whole school. I could not sing for anything.
You were the tree?
But I didn't know I actually sang. I was the singing tree that probably had a really bad voice, but I'd always just get up there. Yeah. And my girlfriends and I would pretend we were Cheap Trick back in the day. They were like a really popular band way back in the day. And we would, you know, rock out and in the living room, like karaoke night before even karaoke was popular. So I'm 50. So I think that I'm, you know, showing the evolution of what's happened. But it just was one of those things in my head. It's like, ooh, that'd be really cool to be up there and be that person, you know, that's in the front of the room, that's on the stage. And so I used hypnosis to get over my own fear of public speaking. It's the first thing that I used it for. Was just really rewiring my mind and how I interpreted those feelings that everybody gets in their belly. I started to tell myself that those butterflies were excitement, and that every time I felt that excitement, I was doing something right.
So, okay. So let's say you're taking the classes.
Yeah.
To overcome public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
What was the idea for public speaking? What were you planning on doing at that point?
Well, I was learning overall for, you know, hypnosis, how to use hypnosis in therapeutic ways. I used it for both public speaking and weight loss.
So you're just curious about this platform.
I was just curious. Okay. Yeah. And so I had seen it modeled for me through that boyfriend. He was very popular. He still is. And he's a name act, and he did shows all over. We went to Australia. We did shows all over America. And he was very booked. So seeing all of the way the business end of it works, I just thought it was one of those false confidence. Like, you know, when you just jump into something and you think you're all confident, but you really have no idea what the hell you're doing, but you just do it anyways, because you have like a spirit for it, you know, an ambition for it.
Are you able to say who the name act was?
No. Who he was? No. Who it is? It's Mark Usick. Okay. Yeah. He's really popular, especially in San Diego. Okay. He's been at the Del Mar Fair performing for over 20 years. Yeah. The guy knows what he's doing. He's amazing. And he's a real estate investor. He's been able to parlay his, peak performance hypnosis. He doesn't call it that, but that's really what it is. You're helping people to be more successful, help them break through their own limitations. And so he does real estate seminars. I have a lot of respect for what he's done with his career. It's amazing.
So going back to you, when did you know that you're doing right by yourself and saying, I can help other people and use this hypnosis on other people?
Oh my gosh. Very early on. By just making the changes within myself, and you know, when you start to make changes, people don't believe you, especially with your own family members. When you start to have a little success, and they're like, who do you think you are, you know, doing that? And I always saw myself at a different level, even though maybe my family didn't, or other people around me. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. I just knew that that's where I should be. And so taking that leap, you know, I have this mantra. It's like, I'm just going to do it scared. Everybody goes, oh, be fearless. Like, no, I'm just going to do it scared. Because to me, fearless means you're supposed to be like not have fear. It sort of has that connotation, as if you would do things with no fear. And I think fear is always a part of it, you know, so do things scared. And so I got there. I started doing it scared. And before I knew it, this is the real story. So I started working for the Marine Corps, doing hypnosis for the Marine Corps. And at that time, a couple years had passed. I started dating another guy, a new guy who's now been my husband for 23 years. And he was very much an encourager. So when I told him what I was going to do, and I was like all gung ho, he's like, right on, you should do that. You know, so he gave me a lot of encouragement. So called the Marine Corps here in Camp Pendleton, here in San Diego. And I decided like, you know, where do they go and they do entertainment shows on base? And a lot of my colleagues at the time, which I didn't have that many in hypnosis because I hadn't networked enough to really know, you know, how the whole thing worked. And so I just thought, well, you know, they have bars on Camp Pendleton, and what if I could bring entertainment to them? And so I called one of the managers up, and I've told this story before, and so maybe some people have heard it, but for your audience probably hasn't. And so I talked with this manager, and she said, you know what, honey, I'll hire you, but this picture is not going to bring my men into the bar. And I had brought her like a really, you know, pent up suit. I had beautiful, you know, all black, looking like a hypnotist in a professional women's suit. And she said, I need tits and ass. And so I thought, well, I could either be offended, or I could prove her right? Prove her that I could do an amazing show and get all the guys in the bar. So I did that and took a picture on a Harley in a short skirt to a point that I didn't feel like I was crossing my own integrity. Just, you know, appeased her and what she was looking for, because she knew her audience. Yeah. And I think it's really important. You always got to, as a speaker, I've now spoken in front of 500,000 audiences and been on just thousands and thousands of stages. And you got to know your audience, you know. So she knew her audience. So I provided her the picture. She was right. It packed the bar. And I got the show, got paid. And that's what I was looking to do, that entrepreneurial spirit. It's like, how can I use my talents, my aspirations, and turn it into money as well, and impacting people. So I did the show that night. And when you asked the question, I'm like, how did you know when that thing, you know, where you know you're making an impact. It was when people after the show came up to me afterwards and they said, oh my God, that felt amazing. I feel so confident. I feel like I could do anything right now. And that like completely lit me up. It's like, really? You feel like you could do anything? Like what? And it's like, well, you know, they just want to take it, their life to the next level. Well, they're going to grind harder. They're going to put more effort in. They're going to believe in themselves more. And I don't know if there's anything more beautiful and brilliant than that, to, you know, help somebody believe in themselves. And that's really what the show was about from that point on. From the very first show on, it was never about making people cluck like chickens. It was always about empowerment. And we found really clever ways to make the show super funny and entertaining without embarrassing people. And I ended up getting booked at every single bar, base, not bar, but base at, across America, wow, as well as Asia and Korea. So I should say Japan and Korea. And every base. So we ended up having a relationship with the Marine Corps for 20 years doing shows.
How long did it take you to change your profile picture from the woman on the bike, the Harley?
Yeah, they used that picture for quite some time. Okay. They did. And then I had to figure out within myself, you know, as a woman and up there doing the show, I always wanted to make sure people were focusing on the right things. Mm. And so I had to find a way to like be sexy, but also be smart about who I am and the information, because I call it edutainment.
Yeah.
I'm really there to teach you something. I'm there to teach you about the power of the subconscious mind. And I do that through the entertainment. I also do just straight speaking, where I come in and just teach and train on subconscious techniques for empowerment and for peak performance. So it's not always about the entertainment, but with the Marine Corps, it was. And we also did stop smoking seminars for them, helping them to get healthier across the board. Marines are really into their physical bodies. So
what transitions have you seen from those 20 years? So when you first started, you basically, you got them in based off of the look. And now you got them in based off the name.
Yeah.
But even your show will probably kind of grown too.
It did. It did. And it matured, I would say. And I started to lean even more into the peak performance space. It got away from the comedy, straight comedy. And now from the very early on, I started to kind of keep easing the percentages. Maybe it was 90% show, 10% empowerment. And it started to keep leaning the other direction, because I started to feel less excited about just the straight comedy and really excited about what people were taking away from it. And I've seen people change lives. I mean, their lives have changed based on a presentation where someone walks away and I get emails afterwards and like, oh my gosh, after I heard you speak, I did this. Like, where they made these big leaps in their lives based on the techniques that I shared with them. And it's huge.
How do you assess a show, and how do you grow a show? Is it basically sitting down afterwards, writing notes about it? Is it just soaking it in? Is it listening to the feedback? Or what do you usually do?
Yeah. So that's interesting. Assess a show. I hadn't ever really put it in those words before. We would base a show, you mean like the success of it, is that what you mean?
Or just the growth of it, because you're saying that you were slowly transitioning from the actual show to more of an educational piece.
Yeah.
And so that had to be kind of a...
Yeah, I would say as far as growing, it meant that I was going to be performing and presenting for different types of audiences.
Okay.
So from the Marines, it went to opening for large name acts. The act that I used to pretend that I was in seventh grade, I actually opened for them in Canada for about 10,000 people. That was super cool. But coming in, being hired by corporations, Fortune 500 companies, I've done shows for different, you know, national real estate companies, actually international, come in as their corporate entertainment for their regional meetings, that type of thing. For colleges, universities, Norwegian Cruise Lines. I ended up doing 23 countries with Norwegian Cruise Lines, where I did both seminars and edutainment. So I would say that the growth was really about the end client. And then, of course, with that growth also comes, you know, your higher pay for each of your shows. And then getting more entrepreneurial about the types of seminars that I offer, online courses, just growing our business in new ways. I really have been on the road for many years. And like today, my daughter is with me. I don't want to be the kind of mom that leaves her kids behind. And so like from the very beginning, I told you that I had a son, you know, before I even became a hypnotist. And he ended up traveling everywhere with us. We would write him into contracts. And so if there's any moms listening that you think that you can't be an entrepreneur in the way that you want to, it's totally not true. Just always put your kids with you. You know, think of them as part of, you know, employees in your business almost. But I would write him into contracts when he was 10 years old and he was a stagehand. So, you know, he would be in the contract agreement and he would get his flight paid for and all those kind of things as well. So I think that when you have a vision and your dream, you just don't be so caught up in the how it's going to happen, but just stay focused on what it is you're trying to create and put out there.
How did you find all these opportunities? So the first one, it sounds like when you called the base up, you were, it was just a straight cold call, right?
Straight cold call.
And so
totally.
And then from there, was it just you met people at the event and then they told you about someone else?
Okay, or? So something really amazing happens within the military is they move.
Yeah.
And so when you did a kick-ass show and then they're moving on to another base, they would tell their people on that base, oh my gosh, you got to get this girl in here. She's amazing. And those are the kind of things they would say. So next thing I know, I was getting phone calls. So it ended up taking kind of a life of its own. The best part was going over to Okinawa. Okinawa, you know, an island off of mainland Japan, and we have a large military presence there. And the Marines alone have, I don't even know, 5 or 6 bases on Okinawa. And they would invite me back time and time again. We had so much fun. Got this tattoo there. After 15 years of going there, I'm like, I have to have some kanji written on my skin. So
I'll take a picture of it. We'll have
another. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, the Marines have just been, I have a kindred spirit with what we've done with them. And of course, they have AFN radio, so Armed Forces Network. And so we'd go over there and do radio, AFN radio, and it would go on every base across the planet.
Is there any other, like, so the first was a cold call and it seems like just word of mouth because you did such a great job.
You have to get on the phones, people.
What other marketing have you done to get more business?
Constant. So agents, having several different agents that would do their own categories. You might have an agent just for corporate work, speaker agent, as well as for a long time, I did about 10 years. I did all big state fairs where they pay me per day to come in. And then it was free entertainment for the audit for the fairgoers. But I would end up opening for name acts like Tim McGraw, Martina McBride. The Oak Ridge Boys were really big back in their time. I actually opened for Billy Ray Cyrus, like when he was popular and he had that mullet. That was way back in the day. And his little daughter, you know, that's now become so famous, was running
Billy
around.
Billy Ray, he has a new song. He just Billy came back Ray. With the
Did
one.
Did he? Does he?
It's some road or something like that. It was really popular. It was like number one for a while.
I haven't been listening to country lately. But Chubby Checker, you know, like there's some really amazing people. But they're either on their way up or they're on their way down. But it was an avenue that we got all through agent and networking. So always being present, putting our names in trade magazines.
How would you find a good agent? How would you define a good agent?
How would I define a good agent?
Yeah, so people listening, something
like that. Oh, I love that. I would say that somebody that wants to help you grow, it's a beneficial relationship if you both have the same focus. So I have found that some agents, they have a particular business model and maybe what you're trying to do with your vision doesn't fit into their business model. So that's a communication that needs to happen up front. Sometimes it sort of unfolds once you're working together. But if you both have you come with a quality product and put it in a box for them, they always want you to be packaged. If you're not packaged, they can't sell you, you know, and that's an important aspect of working with an agent.
So if you're looking for an agent right now, okay, or someone listening right now is looking for an agent, what would probably be 2 or 3 questions that they should ask that person?
This is so good. I would ask about their client base.
Okay.
Because you want to know how powerful a network they actually have. And how you can differentiate yourself in their roster. Those would be the 2 important things.
Okay.
Because there's probably other people that do what you do, but you've got to make yourself different. And so that's in the way that you package yourself, you know, and come up with a niche that nobody else is talking about. You know, I think that's really important because otherwise you're going to look like vanilla when you're really Spumoni. You know, and you need to differentiate yourself. And I think that's for all brands.
Yeah.
Right. But it's no different even with it, selling yourself to an agent. He needs to know, like a lot of speaker agents, you know, there's a lot of people right now that are wanting to do high paid speaking gigs. And if you go searching for speakers, you're going to find 40 people, if not more, that are in your category. You know, what makes you different from the other people? When I've, as a peak performance hypnotist, sometimes I'm against, there's this really amazing speaker. I forget her name, but she was the first Top Gun pilot. female top gun pilots. Like, okay, well, if that's who I'm going up against, you know. However, she doesn't know hypnosis.
Yeah.
So I've got to be able to differentiate myself that way and make my message as bright, shiny, and sparkly and important as her message might be.
How long did it take you to actually figure out your niche or your focus?
Oh, gosh. I think it's ongoing. Being that I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years now, I have shifted it several times. I used to have the brand HypnoChick. That was my brand. I purchased that brand. Nobody else can use that brand. I did it for a number of years. I want to say I had HypnoChick for 10 years maybe and worked that brand. It worked really well in the markets that I was using it in. But then at some point I just kind of felt like I was hitting my head on the ceiling. I wanted to be a little smarter. I knew that I had grown my content so much that HypnoChick wasn't necessarily, I didn't feel like it was going to carry me. And then I also ran into, talking about the tits and ass thing, HypnoChick kind of had more of that playful brand to it. And so I wanted to be taken a little bit more seriously. And so that was my own choice to switch it up. But I think as entrepreneurs, we need to decide that we're the one driving our brand. And of course, you're getting feedback from your audience and you want to play to what your audience wants from you. But at the same time, they need to match, you know? So
we can be a little more choosier.
Yes. Right,
who your audience is. Before it was like, okay, I need any bar, I need any job just to do that. Now it's probably.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And I would say that you do definitely need to keep the integrity of where it's more of a joint venture partners who you're going to be working with. Do they align, you know, with what your brand is and who you want to be? Because if they don't, it's bad business. You don't want to be with people that don't have the same vision or integrity.
I talk to people in my field all the time. One of the most empowering things is when you get to that point when you can fire a client.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It does. And it feels good for them too. Cause it's so awkward and uncomfortable when it's not working.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just time to move on for everybody.
So what are some kind of hurdles that you've had to overcome over the years?
I would say as an entrepreneur is that there's those highs and lows, and you have to be prepared for that with cash flow and being really good in business. I think that we're in a real entrepreneurial spirit right now. That's what I'm seeing. And there's different types of entrepreneurs. There's some people that are just really good at turning a dime. They're really good at sales. They're really good at, like, here's my, they can pitch anything and sell anything, right? My sister used to sell donuts in like sixth grade. Oh, wow. She would make them at home and then she'd go to school and she'd come home with money. And that wasn't necessarily me. But my family was very non-traditional. We were a family of my grandmother and my mother, they were real estate investors. And so I never saw anybody like go to work. They were just kind of doing what they do. So that entrepreneurial spirit was definitely in me, but not in the same way that my sister had it. So I think for me, it was more about adventure. I loved the ideas as an entrepreneur is that you don't have to go somewhere and sit in an office, that you can really kind of make your own way in life and decide where you want to be. You could be on the beach, you could be in another country, but you have to be disciplined. So I think that's the key. No matter what type of entrepreneur you are, you really need to have an element of discipline to what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in some tough moments, cash flow wise.
So when you're talking about the lows, and of course the highs, but the lows, what was that big why? What was that thing that was pushing you forward?
I love the idea of making an impact on lives where people just feel really good about what they're doing here in this lifetime. And the same way, making money with that. Let those two match at the same level. I have this picture of my grandmother in Egypt in the 1960s, and she's paying for her camel ride. And she's a woman in my grandfather was with her, but my grandfather's not in the picture. And she's digging into her purse to pay for her camel ride. And the Sphinx is behind her. So it's old photo. And I just admired the heck out of that photo. Growing up, she just seemed like somebody to me that I wanted to be like. And more so her than my mother, right? So she was just, she had come from Oklahoma, dirt poor, literally grew up with a mud floor and a grass roof. And she knew she needed to get out of there if she was going to make anything of herself. And it makes me always wonder, like, what was in her that made her do something so incredibly courageous and ambitious? She ended up moving to California, like crossing, you know, coming over to California with only a nickel in her pocket. That's what she used to tell me. We had a nickel in our pocket when we showed up to Pasadena, California. And she ended up making millions. Wow. So she ended up buying real estate, commercial real estate, mostly apartments, and some commercial real estate, but that ended up just growing and growing. And part of it was, you know, the time they were investing and being disciplined about their money. My grandmother was really frugal. She never drove a Mercedes. It was always like a new Chevrolet. And she'd shop at the Salvation Army for her purses. They had no idea there was a multimillionaire standing in front of them. And that's when there wasn't millionaires. You know, like, there was, but not as prevalent as it is now. She was really healthy. She used to jog every single morning and by herself. She'd jog around the house all the way through her 90s. And that impressed me. I thought, where does she get that kind of internal, intrinsic motivation?
How old was she when she passed away?
103.
How old are you?
Let's see. Oh, I don't know. She was 103 when she passed away. And that was, 16 years ago.
Okay. So you had a chance to at least talk to her a little bit then.
All the time. Yeah, okay. She was a wonderful person. And she, you know, when I used to go visit her, I loved going to her house and I'd stay for the weekend. And she would sit down at her desk. And I remember at one point I asked her, I said, what are you doing? And she's, I'm writing my checks to the charities that I care about. And it was 18 different checks a month.
Wow.
18 charities a month.
Was there any kind of feedback or any kind of advice she gave you?
Constantly. You know, she did come from the old school. She was not much of a feminist. So she did think that I was going to need to like just marry a rich man. So I wish she would have given me different advice.
Yeah.
And it was weird to me. It's a weird dynamic, which is one of the things that I help people do is break through their money set points with hypnosis. I have a whole process that I created because I have struggled so much with my own money set points. I mean, here I was raised around money, but yet they were super frugal. At the same time, it was like, you're going to need to marry a rich man rather than you do it yourself. So it was a lot of dichotomies that were conflicts in my subconscious mind. And people have conflicts like that, that will keep them from moving to the next level. So for me, what I did love about her is her graciousness, her health. She took care of herself. She was very disciplined about taking care of her health, and she was very disciplined with her money. So I saw that as being a promising thing. And I love that she gave her money away. She really felt like God had blessed her. And so she just helped people out. She gave to a lot of charities. And I saw that as being a very gracious, wealthy, healthy person.
Well, it seems like at least that she was taking trips with her and her
grandfather. She was. They would go to the airport and not know where they were going.
Wow.
They would pack one bag. They were crazy. They would they were washing their clothes in the sink in their hotel room at night or something because they had minimal clothing. And that she'd have one little carry-on bag and they would look up at the, and at that time it was like tickers, you know, it wasn't digital. And they would go, let's go here. And they went all the way around the world on one of those trips where they just decided to go bounce from one place to the next. And that's when people didn't really do that kind of international travel.
They had quite the balance.
They did. Right. That's what I thought was amazing. And that, I think that's where I got my adventurous spirit. I've traveled a lot and taken my kids as many places as I've gone. They haven't gone as many places. When I was working for Norwegian, I ended up taking some trips solo, which always felt not good to me. It was exciting to be in these at some amazing countries, but at the same time, I love bringing my kids along. So I actually jumped ship for that reason. I literally jumped ship. I was like, I'm out of here. I did it for 2 years doing contracts with them. And it's amazing. And I would, anybody that wants to do that, I think you should, because people always ask me like, how did you do that? I want to get on a ship and go travel the world. And you have to have the right personality for it. For me, I wanted to bring my family. So,
well, I mean, I've been looking enough to travel and like live in other countries. And I think it's more so about the people you're with and the place you're at.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it better the place you're at if you're with good people.
Totally. And there's a social aspect. If you're on a ship and you're the entertainer and the seminar speaker, everybody knows who you are. And so you're instantly popular, which is fun. I never, you know, ate dinner alone if I didn't want to. And I'm a runner. So I would end up running in every port that I was in. I would just get off the ship and go for a run and make sure that I was safe. I'd text my husband, this is where I'm at. Here's my GPS location. The only place I couldn't run in was Peru. There was a dangerous area where, like, literally when you got off the ship, the policeman said, don't run here by yourself. You need to be with people.
Oh, wow.
But other than that, I've run all over Europe and all the islands in the Caribbean, you know, places like that. But it's amazing. And I want to say, you know, I started running marathons when I turned 40. Oh, wow. I ran a marathon for my 40th birthday because I thought if I could run a marathon, then I'm probably doing okay. And it was like kind of my own proving to myself. And I ran that first marathon and it had so much to do with the same reason I love hypnosis. And because it really pushes your belief systems, it makes you, forces you to see what you're made of. It forces you to dig really deep some days. And that first marathon, I just got so hooked. I ended up running 31 marathons and hundreds of half marathons, all the way up into endurance races doing, wow, you know, ultra marathons. And that running piece, I feel like it is also a very entrepreneurial thing. It's like that spirit of adventure. What can I do? What could I, you know, how could I beat myself? You know, that same sort of thing, that's it, that ambition that's in a lot of entrepreneurs.
You heard of David Goggins?
Oh yeah. I've listened to his book while running a marathon.
Okay.
So yeah, I love people like that, that are, yeah, just there. You're here to live a really ambitious life. I don't want to like be sitting in my house, you know, doing the same routine every day. I'm not that type of person. So I love anything that has to do with pushing yourself. And I'm actually not competitive. I'm just competitive against myself, but not with other people.
Have you always been this way?
No, it's definitely not an athlete. I was smoking under the bleachers in high school for sure. Like ditching class. I was not ambitious at all in school. In that way, that was definitely not me. I couldn't wait to get out into the world and just figure out what I was going to do. So it was kind of amazing to actually become an athlete after like flunking PE, you know? And I would say, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, what kind of advice would you give that girl smoking under the bleachers?
She doesn't know who she is yet. You know, she's got a long way to go. If you are granted that opportunity, because we don't know, you know, how many days we have. But I would say that I've seen people, you know, people say, oh, people don't change. It's so not true. People do change and they evolve and it's amazing.
Do you think, how much do you think was given to the hypnosis that allowed you to change?
Everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everything.
Is there anything that someone listening right now, is there any kind of maybe tricks or ideas they can do right now just to...
Sure. I would want people listening to really just think about what you say to yourself, because it really truly is your own hypnosis. I had a client once say to me after a really amazing breakthrough session, she said, you know what? You don't put people to sleep. You wake them up. And it couldn't be said better. That is exactly what hypnosis does. It's not about programming your mind. It's about unprogramming your mind, because we are so, you know, patterned by how we were raised and the traumas that we went through, like the decisions that we make in those transitional times that are really hard. Like, I'm never going to do that again. Or, you know, I'm never going to put myself in that position. Like, that is your own hypnosis. And I would want people to look within themselves and ask, is that the best choice for yourself? How you're talking to yourself now.
Have you heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Yes.
Okay. When you're talking about the program, it's like that. I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. One of my favorite clients who I helped completely shift her mindset around her body and her weight. Hmm. She's lost 90 pounds. She's actually just started working for him. And I love it, because so much of what I've taught her now is translating to being an amazing employee for him.
Yeah.
You know, because she totally speaks the language. But I want my clients to learn how I do what I do so they can do it for themselves. You're constantly hypnotizing yourself.
Is there, besides that one client right there, is there anyone else, you don't say their name, that you could just say, when that happened right there, when I saw that transformation, it basically touched me?
Oh, Jaylene Welch, hands down. I don't mind saying her name. She's amazing. And so many people before that. There's Jaylene. We're still friends to this day. She's amazing. She's one of my closest friends. I love her. I love this girl. She came into my program. It was a weight loss program. Her sister, who's I love dearly, she's just a total badass entrepreneur. And she was in my program because, oh, it was like the one area that she couldn't master. You know, she could master her money, she could master selling, master all parts of her life, but the weight part was that thing that she was like trying to figure out. And so she came into my program, and then unknowingly, here comes her little stepsister who is just like so innocently involved, like, oh, what are you guys doing over there? Maybe I'll do it. At the time, she weighed 227 pounds, And that's numbers only. I don't care about weight. It just, it's only significant when you hear how much she lost. Over 13 months of just jumping in and going, okay, I'll do this with my sister. She lost 105 pounds in 13 months.
Oh my gosh.
And the best part is she's now kept it off for 8 years, completely changed her life. She ended up getting out of a bad marriage that she had been in for years and years prior to that. And an emotionally abusive marriage that constantly just sort of pushed down, like, oh, you're not as great as you think you are, blah, blah, blah. She lost that 105 pounds, and it was not so much about the weight loss that made her grow, but it was the confidence that she was able to instill within herself. She said that after listening to my hypnosis audios that she feels like she's actually an inch taller.
Oh, my God.
And she's a little shorty. She's like, we love her. She's dynamite, packed in like 5 feet, you know. But she'd say she actually feels taller after listening to a hypnosis session. So she lost that 105 pounds, left the husband, and then ended up tripling her income.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, she's just a rock star.
So if someone listening right now is in the San Diego area, or I guess really anywhere in the world,
yeah,
what's the best way of them trying to find you, reach out to you?
I do work with people around the world, and it's cool because I've traveled so much speaking, yeah, that I end up meeting clients. So they can go to wakeupyourbest.com. And of course, my name, there's a lot of ways that you can, that lead to me. Just Google me. You'll see me all over the place. And you'll see the evidence of the amazing work that I've been out there doing too. I always give credit to the work than myself. Like, it's, people go, oh, Deanna, you're so amazing. Like, no, you did the work. We facilitated it together. And we had amazing teamwork. Because when I'm working with a client, there's trust that happens there. You know, with hypnosis, there's got to be trust. And we've got to have a certain level of understanding with one another, that I'm there to help. I'm going to be their bridge to help them get where they want to go. So wakeupyourbest.com.
One question I wanted to finish it off with is, where do you think hypnosis is going in the future? Is there going to be growth with technology, anything like that that's going to happen in the future?
I think there's going to be a lot of hypnotists because people are really cluing in that it's such an amazing natural tool, and not realizing this whole time that they've been hypnotizing themselves. Once people get educated, they shift their mind about what it is. And so it's being adopted by hospitals right now, clinics, used in with athletes. I've worked with a lot of professional athletes as well for peak performance and focus. And so I just think it's going to become more and more a thing, and people are going to start, you know, using it in the corporate level with teams, you know, using it as positive programming. It's really, that word programming makes it sound so robotic, and it's really not it's not robotic at all. It's actually very much sinks into your emotional intelligence, but it helps you to really just lift those ceilings and go higher.
Well, thank you for all the information. I think everyone listening right now, if you didn't get some good information, I don't think you were listening.
Yeah, they were sleeping. They were sleeping in hypnosis. Sleep.
Thanks again, Deanna. For all you listeners out there, please subscribe, please share, and tell your friends, and reach out to Deanna. You know, Google her, find her, and if you're looking to grow, she's ready to help you.
Absolutely.
Get there.
Absolutely. I'm excited to help you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.